Okay, welcome. My name is Divine. This is episode 30 of the Divine Intervention Life Lessons podcast. And in today's podcast, my topic will be on speaking the truth in love. Speaking the truth in love. And the anchor scripture I'm going to be using today is Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15, it says, and I'm reading from the New International Version. It says, instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of Him who is the head, that is Christ. I'll read it again. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of Him who is the head, that is Christ. So as we're seeing from this text, it's speaking the truth in love that will help us grow. And I'll talk about why that's the case as we proceed in this podcast, right? So again, I want to deconstruct certain terms that I've talked about from the text. Speaking, right? Speaking means to say something out loud. Say it out, right? Don't hide it. The truth, right? Not flattery. You're saying the truth. You're not flattering. You're not lying, right? And it says in love, right? You're doing it not disrespectfully. You're doing it with respect. Right? So it's very important. Essentially, what we're learning from this text is you need to speak, not hide. You see some people, the truth, you're quiet on it. No, you're not supposed to be quiet on the truth. You're supposed to speak the truth, right? The Bible says that wisdom raises her voice in the streets, right? She's on every corner square. She's trying to tell people the truth, right? She's not hiding it. She's trying to proclaim it out to people, right? So you need to speak it out, right? And then you need to, what you're speaking out, you need to make sure it's the truth. You need to make sure it's not a lie. You need to make sure it's not flattery. You need to make sure it's not something that, oh, let me just say what is appealing. Sometimes the truth is not appealing to people. That's the truth. That's why they fight it, right? But you have to do it in love. You need to do it with respect, right? If you keep all these characteristics together, then when you're correcting people or when you're correcting a situation, you're going to do it the right way, right? So the thing is, we do live in a world of flattery. Right? You see many times, you see all these terms like, oh, people want to be diplomatic. You know, they don't want to offend other people. They want to be politically correct. To be honest with you, that term, I absolutely disdain that term. Because it's almost like a sanction on bad behavior, right? It's almost a sanction on flattery, right? Oh, I want to be politically correct. I don't want to offend the other person, right? But the thing is, in saying, oh, you know what? I want to be politically correct. I want to be diplomatic. Right? We have lost our way. That's the truth. Right? The thing is, people do not hear the truth anymore on many issues of life. That is the absolute truth. People don't hear the truth anymore. Right? We see that many things, even in many churches these days, many messages are watered down. Right? And they've almost like taken the truth and turned it to a lie or turned it to flattery. Right? Oh, I don't want to offend the audience. I don't want to offend the congregation. Right? But the thing is, those people are being led astray. And to be honest with you, if you're a pastor or any kind of leader listening to this, those people you're leading astray, they're going to be very angry with you in the end when they see, wow, so this is the destination you got me to. Right? So be willing to speak the truth. And what are some things that make people not speak the truth or not tell it as it is? Well, one, they have the fear of what other people think. Right? They're afraid, oh, what will other people think about me? Or they are afraid, oh man, what is the retribution I'm going to get as a result of this, right? You see some people, they know that what they feel in their hearts is true. They know that what they are saying is true, but they're just afraid of retribution, right? Or you're afraid of the culture that may want to cancel you. Oh man, these people, if I speak the truth, they're going to absolutely destroy my business, or they're going to absolutely destroy me or try to destroy my family, right? Or sometimes people are afraid because the truth they're speaking, they know it's unpopular, right? They know that people may ridicule them. People may make mockery of them because they are speaking the truth, right? But again, remember this part of the Bible. The Bible says, don't fear him that can only destroy the body. Rather, fear him, which is God in this case, who can destroy both body and soul in hell, right? So the thing is, you should not be afraid of man. Because the thing is, once you're standing with God, to be honest with you, if God is the only person you're standing with the majority. It's just a matter of time and you will be vindicated, right? Like, for example, the three Hebrew boys, when they were in the land of Babylon, and they were like, oh, bow down before this graven image. Do you remember what the Lord had said? You shall have no other gods before me, right? Don't bow down to any graven image. Don't bow down to any idol. Hey, there were many other Israelites in the land of Babylon then. But those three Hebrew boys, they set themselves apart because they spoke the truth, right? They stood for the truth. And they were standing with God in those circumstances. And what happened? Yes, they were thrown into the fire, but God showed up in that fire. The thing is, sometimes when you speak the truth, when you stand for the truth, fire is going to come, right? Again, the Bible does not say that the Christian life is a bed of roses. No, the Bible says right from the days of John the Baptist, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence. The violent take it by force, right? Really, being a Christian sometimes is violence. It's a battle. It's a spiritual battle that is being fought, right? But in that fire, God showed up, right? The thing is, in speaking the truth in love, in standing for the truth, God will show up in that situation, right? The Bible says, remember, I will never leave you nor forsake you, right? So you can say with confidence, God is my helper. What can man do to me, right? Because again, many people, they love that joy and comfort of being in the major, of being in the crowd, right? Of being in the crowd. But the thing is, the only way, because if you think about it, if you are the only, if you are stuck in a crowd, it's very hard to be differentiated. But if you're different, even the Bible says, come out from among them and be separate, and I'll receive you unto myself, right? God wants you to come out. God wants you to come out into truth. Come out from darkness. Come out from lies. Come out from flattery. Come out from, oh, I must be politically correct. Come out from, oh, I want to, you know, I want to keep the peace. No, keeping the peace doesn't mean you are making peace, right? Because sometimes for you to have long-term peace, there has to be temporary confrontation. There has to be temporary confrontation. So it's very important as a child of God, be truthful, speak the truth in love, right? Again, correcting somebody and telling them the truth, it may have some temporary inconvenience or it may provide some temporary discomfort. But in the long run, you are benefiting that individual a lot more. In fact, to be honest with you, as an individual, covet rebuke more than you covet praise. Because praise makes a person proud. Rebuke makes a person humble and change. And the thing is, you can never move forward in life until you change certain areas of your life, right? Because think about it, even as a child, right, as children, you may not have loved the discipline your parents imputed on you. Do you think I loved it when, you know, back home in Nigeria, my parents would make me study all the time, I'll have to work hard, have to do this, have to do that. Did it seem pleasant then? No, it did not seem pleasant then. But as an adult now, I am very grateful for it. I am very, very, very grateful for it, right? That's why the Bible says, don't despise the Lord's correction or the Lord's rebuke, because the Lord loves those that he corrects, right? When God is correcting you, he's essentially showing love to you, right? But many of us, we rather get praise from people and we don't want to get any kind of rebuke. But the thing is, if people just keep praising you, people keep flattering you, they're not helping your destiny. Because there is nothing that has changed in your life, right? But on the flip side, when people are telling you the truth and you are taking that correction and you are applying it to your life, you notice that your life will begin to change. You notice that you begin to head in a positive direction, right? So again, it's very, very important, because think about it, as a strict parent, they may be disliked in the short term, but in the long term, they will be loved by their children. Pampering parents, they may be liked in the short term, but they'll be disliked in the long term. Right? Because the thing is, sometimes some parents that pamper their children, the first time their children ever get any kind of reproof is when they're within the prison system, right? Because they didn't get the right training as kids. They didn't get the right training as kids. They didn't get the right examples shown to them. They were not corrected. Oh, maybe they stole someone's pen, right? And they're like, oh, it's just Johnny being Johnny. Or they stole this, they stole that, or they talk back at their parents, or they just lash out in anger at their parents, and you didn't correct it. The thing you are doing is you're essentially destroying that child's destiny. You need to correct it, right? You're not supposed to be your children's friend. You're supposed to be their parent, right? Big difference. You're not their friend. You're their parent, right? Train them. Show them the right example. When they've been shown the right example, when they've been corrected in love, then the thing that will happen over time is that they will grow up to be responsible adults. They will grow up to be responsible members of society. They will bring you joy. They will bring society joy. And you bring the kingdom of God joy too, right? And then they will also raise other people that will make the world a better place, right? So we need to learn to speak the truth, right? Because think about it. Don't let judgment day be the day that people will get their first reproof. Like, oh, they are told, wow, well, these are the error of your ways. Because the thing is, on judgment day, it's too late. It's too late. At that point, you are getting that reproof. Ah, you shouldn't have done this. You shouldn't have done that. But it's too late. They've been sentenced to eternal damnation, right? At that point, right? So tell people about the errors of their ways now, right? So they don't learn about it when it's too late. I remember that part of the Bible where there was this man. He was in hell and he was saying, oh, please, let me go and tell this person and this person that, oh, they should do God's will so that they don't end up in the same way. The thing is, people have opportunity. You can't say you don't have opportunity, right? The Bible says now is the time of salvation. Now is the time to listen to those words of correction from the Bible. It may not sound pleasant to you because think about it. Rebuke, correction, reproof. It doesn't sound pleasant when you're hearing it. But the thing is, many of us, especially if your conscience is still alive, you know in your heart that that thing that person is telling you is the absolute truth. You know that that thing they're telling you is to change you. You know that that thing they're telling you is to get you on the right track, right? So the thing is, discipline, correction, being reproved, right? Being reprimanded, it doesn't sound pleasant in the current moment, but you need to submit to it. You need to submit to it. You need to submit to it. When you submit to it, you'll see that your life will be better and you'll be heading in the right direction, right? So again, as I conclude, tell the truth without fear, right? But tell it through God's wisdom. Be respectful, but be firm in saying it, right? Because you see some people, they want to be very adversarial when they're telling the truth. They are loud, they're insultive, they're using profanity, right, to impose their will on people. No, that's one thing people don't understand. God does not force you to do his will. He encourages you, right? The Bible says, I have placed before you life and death, right? Those are words of correction. He says, choose life that you may live. God is offering you that choice, right? You may be able to choose what you do, but you're going to face the consequences for your own actions, right? You're going to face the consequences for your own actions. So I'm encouraging you today as I wrap up, hear the word of correction of salvation, right? Hear the word of correction in salvation. Again, salvation comes, true salvation comes by the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, it may be like, wow, why am I confessing all my sins? But I'm telling you, if you listen to that word of correction, you are taking the first decision that will begin to guide you towards the path of your divine destiny. So if you want to say that prayer of salvation today, I want you to repeat this after me. Dear Lord Jesus, I come to you today. I confess I'm a sinner and I regret all my sins. I forsake all my sins. I repent of all my sins. I believe that you shed your blood and died on the cross to save me. I believe you rose again on the third day to give me life. Come into my life. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. Write my name in the book of life. Give me a brand new beginning. Sanctify me with your blood. Fill me with your spirit. Make me a brand new man. Make me a brand new woman. Give me the grace to live for you. Give me the grace to live for your glory. Give me the grace to walk in obedience to your will. Give me the grace to listen to that word of correction. In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. Amen. If you have said this prayer, congratulations. You're a child of God. I'll encourage you, find a Bible-believing church, right? Seek community with other believers. And also pick up a Bible, right? Pick up a Bible, you know, if you're like, wow, it's hard for me to understand King James, you can try the New International Version or the New Living Translation. Those are great translations of scripture, especially the New Living Translation. I really love that format, right? Read it. You can start from the book of John. Read it. Do what it says, and your life will head in the right direction. But again, find a Bible-believing church. There are many churches that say they are Bible-believing, but they don't speak the truth. They speak lies. They speak flattery. They speak the itching words that their congregation wants to hear, right? So find a Bible-believing church where the true, undiluted word of God is preached, and then do what you learn there. And you'll see your life change. I attend the Redeemed Christian Church of God, RCCG. There's probably one near you in pretty much every country of the world, right? But what I'm saying is, you know, you don't have to go to RCCG. There are many other great churches, right? But again, every day there are more and more churches that claim to be godly, but they're actually not godly, right? So do your due diligence, do your searching, find a Bible-believing church, Seek community with other believers, and all will be well with you. Until next time, thank you, and God bless you. Amen.